You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Mediclinic, the business previously listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, now privately owned by Remgro and MSC, is potentially undergoing a restructure. We're going to be taking a look at this and seeing if we can make sense of this restructure and perhaps some other restructures that are out there in the market at the moment. Joined on the line by the Chief Executive Officer at Anchor Capital, Peter Armitage, to take a look at these developments and see what we make of them. Peter, lovely to have you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with your thoughts around the conversation that's taking place at the moment between the shareholders of Mediclinic in the form of Remgro and MSC. It seems quite an interesting development that after having delisted the business and the ownership taken out of the public eye, we're now looking at rethinking how the business is being managed and possibly swapping out assets for other assets.
So Mediclinic have got three primary territories: South Africa, Switzerland, and the Middle East. MSC and Remgro collectively delisted Mediclinic. And what's on the table now is for Remgro, the South African business, to own the South African Mediclinic and MSC to own 100% of the Swiss business, but to jointly own the Middle East. So it's an interesting one. I think the different parties have clearly got different agendas. You know, Remgro is a Rupert-controlled company, which is all about South Africa and South African growth. So it makes more sense for them to own more of South Africa. We've never particularly liked the Swiss business. You know, it's a declining population, and more and more people are going to step down clinics. You know, as technology improves, people need to spend less time in hospital. So, you know, it's a business that paid quite a lot for it quite some time ago. I think owning South Africa, where they've got more influence and control over the South African business, as well as the Middle East, where there's nice growth, I think positions Remgro a little better than having the Swiss asset.
Now, Peter, this isn't the only type of transaction that we're seeing of this nature. We're seeing in some areas, markets and companies are collaborating quite differently. I'm thinking about just this morning, the announcement that I saw earlier that Total Energies and Chevron, so a French company on the one side of the deal and an American company in the form of Chevron, have recently entered into yet another almost swap for some Nigerian-linked assets. I want to get your thoughts around perhaps what we might be seeing in the collaborations of these big businesses. I want to look at that as an example and also potentially look at how this affects the deals and acquisitions and transactions that we start to see in the market. If bigger players are saying, perhaps we're going to focus on this area, but we're happy to partner with someone else who'll focus on something else rather than just sell off the business.
Yeah, I think the, it's quite company and geographic specific. So in the example that you've just given, as well as the Mediclinic example, it's all about geographies. So guys wanting to invest in different geographies. So often you'll have American companies coming in that like to be in partnership with an SA company to go into a specific area. And I think it's, you know, kind of expertise and a feeling of comfort in a different geographic area. Typically, you know, globally, these big companies have got big balance sheets and they want to be in control of the assets. And in fact, the Mediclinic thing is playing into that, because I think they'd like to control Switzerland. SA would like to control South Africa. But in the case of the Middle East, they're happy to share in the growth.
Peter, you bring up the geographical conversation, and that's quite an interesting one because I want to get your thoughts around whether or not perhaps the strategy is the best way forward. I'm thinking about other examples unrelated to these two conversations, the likes of the Spar Group making a decision to exit Poland after having gone into that environment. We've seen those sorts of transactions also take place where companies previously went into a market, it hasn't worked out as well, and they've decided to exit the market. Do you think that perhaps having a strategic partner in that space or in that geography perhaps makes the deal easier or, as you said, provides more comfort?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was certainly about a 10-year period in South Africa where South African corporates are going overseas and we're really diversifying at any cost, paying crazy prices for businesses. You know, sometimes you look at an acquisition or something happening in the corporate world and you go, kind of feel that doesn't make sense. And you think, well, give them the credit because they've been in this business for a long time. And 5 years later, you realize it certainly didn't make any sense at all. And in the example of Spar, they bought into a loss-making Polish business You know, the Polish guys couldn't make a profit out of it, but they thought as South Africans, they could go over there and turn the business around. So many South African businesses, you know, sent their B teams overseas because the A teams obviously got to run the business back home. And, you know, a litany of errors made by corporate South Africa. So, you know, if you're going to go offshore, know the people, know the business, know the industry. One's going to be very cautious of, and if you picture, you know, why would a local player in another country sell to a South African business unless they're getting a very good price? Or, you know, there's things that the South African business doesn't know, that they can't attract a local buyer at the right price. So, you know, over time, we've watched these things with a lot of caution. And there's a you've got to operate in a very specific way if you want to go and take risk in another territory.
Peter, what does the risk in other territories mean for you as an asset manager? I get the conversation around diversification. Everybody likes a business that is diversified in asset and in potentially geography, but does it make it harder to then assess the true potential of that business or the true risk that you might take in investing in a business like that? Because you might only understand one aspect of the business and the rest of it might pose a different kind of threat. Or does it come down to what we're effectively seeing from some of these deals themselves is as long as the return makes sense, then we go ahead?
Yeah, I think local knowledge is incredibly important. So you've either got to buy into a business that knows and excels in the local market or partner with somebody who's got that kind of knowledge. So I think and cost of capital is a big issue. So, you know, the money is much cheaper in developed countries typically, and PE multiples and valuations are higher, and that kind of tends to attract people into the territories. So I think the expectation of South African businesses is if they go and invest offshore and they've got hard currency earnings, that'll give them a higher PE multiple. But ultimately, the business has got to work. If you know, a P multiple of 10 on zero earnings, it's still zero. So if you've got a loss-making business, like, if you know, think about Woolworths going into Australia. Some of the businesses there, they've come back with their tail between their legs. You know, they're not smarter than the local operators who understand the conditions and understand the consumers in those countries. So partnering with good local knowledge, good people is essential. And often, you know, South Africa is still a land of great opportunity. You know, often the opportunities on your doorstep are the most attractive ones. If you can buy a local business and grow it by 10 or 20%, that's often better than the battle you're going to go through investing in a territory that you're not familiar with. I think another issue is time zone. You know, the South African businesses who've invested in Australia and America, many of the CEOs we talked to a few years later just got exhausted their whole exco. Because if you're operating in Australia, you're either going to bed very late or waking up very early to interact with them. So you're trying to run a business here during the day. So it's not just cost of capital, it's not just territory, it's also practical implications of management time.
Certainly some interesting considerations that shape how some of these deals and transactions take place throughout the world. I think the next conversation you and I will have, Peter, is potentially around how to identify these attractive opportunities, at least from an investment point of view. But for now, we'll leave this conversation on that note. Thanks so much to the Chief Executive Officer at Anchor Capital, Peter Armitage, for taking a look at the latest restructuring taking place at MediClinic and just how businesses are potentially approaching relationships.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.